And we are live. Welcome to the Rome Show. How you doing, bro?
How's it going?
Going good. I appreciate you for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Great to be on here.
Definitely. So I came across you from Paul, PG Sports.
Yeah.
And it's one of my media friends, good guy. And I was interested in your story. And I seen that you wrote a book and stuff like that. So for the people on my platform that don't know, can you tell them about what you do a little bit?
I think most people don't know who I am. So I do the intro. Happy to get the name out there. I love Paul. Paul was a big influence. But yeah, depends on how deep you want me to go. So yeah, I wrote a book on the Hartford Whalers. Came out in 2021. We're in the process of turning it into a documentary film that will be unveiled at some point later this year, I think. And so yeah, my background is I've been writing about sports for about the past, man, too many years, almost 20 years. And, you know, 19, I'd say it's been, started college at Sacred Heart University, got to throw them a plug because I wouldn't have been anywhere without them. You know, and just trying to plug away, you know, it's a hard road, media, sports media, everybody wants to do it. But it's a tricky field to get in. And I mean, it's funny because it's tricky, but it's also never been easier in some ways, you know, as platforms, you know, do-it-yourself platforms and build, you know, social media, find ways to create audiences. So it's been a grind, frankly. You know, I've had bylines in the New York Times and USA Today and worked for NHL.com for 5.5 years. Like you said, published the book on the Whalers that came out in 2021. Since 2021, I've been writing for a sports betting website called The Game Day. Been leading their hockey coverage, but also chipping in football, basketball, baseball, mostly football and basketball, and covering the NBA a bit for the AP. So it's been a ride. Hasn't been a straight road by any means. Hasn't been the road I expected, but it's been a, you know, it's certainly been eventful and still going. You know, I can't get out of this thing. So it's cool to be still following something I love doing.
Right. You got a lot of great stuff going on. You're from Connecticut, correct?
I'm from New Jersey, but I went to college in Connecticut. I spent 10 years in Connecticut after college. Well, in college and after college.
Okay. Super fire. And you said you were in the New York Times?
Yeah. Yeah. So I wrote for them for about 3 years. Covered the NHL mostly, did a little bit of other stuff. But yeah, mostly the NHL as a correspondent. It was one of those things that, you know, through the book, built some contacts, networked. And when I finally got to the end of my rope, I spent 5 years out of college. You know, I got out of college right around the recession time, the Great Recession, and media jobs were drying up. And it's funny, I interviewed for this job as a sports editor for community paper right after I got out of college. And my boss at the time said, you'll be here 1 year and you go on to something bigger and better. And I spent 5.5 years there, you know, because the recession and because there was all sorts, you know, there was no jobs and there was no real path. So it was one of those things that the book sort of, I had an idea to write a book about the Whalers that they hadn't been done before. And so I sort of pushed that along. You know, like you said, you know, most people would think I was from Connecticut to put together the book on the Whalers, but I was more just this hockey fan who was aware of the history of the team and them moving to Carolina, who was sort of in the right place at the right time. Again, I was going to college in Connecticut, and my career was at the end of its rope, you know, it was going nowhere, frankly, and I needed a way to boost it a bit. So I started working on the book, you know, essentially to build contacts and network and obviously build my profile. And then I found the story was really good. And honestly, the book did all the things I was hoping it would. You know, it built my network. And again, I got to parlay some of that, some of the connections into other roles like at the New York Times and at the NHL. And so it was, and then, like I said, it was one of those things that it took me 10 years to write the book and get it published. And it was a grind, but I knew I needed to do it the right way. But I started with a blank slate and a blank canvas. And a lot of people tell me that was the best way to go about it because I didn't have any biases. I just sort of went in and was like, okay, I have to learn all this stuff and then present what I learned in the book in the best way possible. And it took that long. I mean, it was supposed to be 8 years, but then, you know, the pandemic slowed some things and pushed some things back. And then even when it came out, it was unavailable for a while. So it's been a hard road, even with the book in some cases, but, you know, it was rewarding. Again, it got me to New York Times, got me to, you know, National Bleacher Report, National AP, USA Today. And, you know, got me a, you know, higher profile and I, again, I really love the story. The history of the Whalers is fascinating. And now it's cool to be doing a film, you know, so these are things that I never would have imagined, you know, could have imagined, frankly, because, you know, writing a book is a heavy lift. And then one of my friends was just like, hey, do you want to make it into a film? And I was like, I guess, you know, sure. Let's give it a shot. Yeah. And it's, and, you know, now it's we're making great progress and make great strides. And it's been, it's hard to believe in some cases, and in other cases it's like, well, yeah, we're right exactly where we're supposed to be.
Right. And, well, all those big things going on, you know, before they happen, and now that they did happen, how does it feel? The book, the film?
You know, it's weird because I'll speak for myself. I always think that when I get to this place, I'll feel this way. And when I get to this place, I'll get to this. And when I get to this milestone, I'll do this and this and this and this. And it's not. It's super rewarding to be in this position, to be able, you know, to be working on a film, to be, you know, we were in Florida a few weeks ago, last week, and we were in North Carolina before that, doing source interviews. And we were at Whalers Night in Raleigh, North Carolina. And then we were in, Florida, recorded a lot of interviews last week. And we're in California in November, and it's super fun. It's super rewarding. But, you know, I say this all the time, like, I don't feel like I made it, if that makes any sense. You know, it's just, it's one of those things where, again, I don't have this opinion of myself that, okay, I'm in a position where I'm comfortable, where I would love to be, where I, you know, where everything is good. And because of that, like I said, you know, and not that the fame is everything, but like most people don't know who I am still. Most people wouldn't think of me in any sort of way to, you know, produce. It's sort of like, you know, I've done a bunch of doors to get on the planet. Like, I wouldn't be the first person anyone would have picked to write a book on the Whalers. Wouldn't be the first person anyone would have picked to write for the New York Times or for the various other websites. I've always, you know, it's just been sort of knocking on doors and knocking down doors and trying to do the best you can. And I think, in some ways it's hard because, again, you have to hustle, you have to kind of constantly grind and constantly push and struggle for recognition and struggle for, new opportunities. And, you know, cause I never got the beat writing position. I never got the columnist position. I never got, again, the writing industry sort of, changed very drastically since I got out of college. So, you know, it's not something that, you know, I'm not certainly front of mind for a lot of people, but I think in some cases it's also led me to be really open and really, willing to sort of chase things. Again, if I was in a position where I was comfortable, I would have said no to a film. I would have said, okay, I don't have time for that. You know, I love the documentary films. I love the 30 for 30s. I love the HBO ones. And they're really entertaining and they're really fascinating. And I really learn a lot more so than biopics, I find. And it's so to be able to do that, be able to be hungry enough and open enough to do that is a real blessing. And I think now it's what's, and everybody asks me what's next. And I hate that question because it's like inspiration needs to strike. Like it's, but at the same time, you know, I'm constantly thinking like, what's next? What's next? What's next? And I'm not in a position where it's like, okay, things are good. Things are calm. I don't need to focus on what's next. I mean, it's like, again, it's a double-edged sword because I would love to be in that spot where it's like, okay, we're good. We're just going to coast here a little bit. But then at some point it's like, you know, well, what's next? You know, we got to keep going. We got to keep running here. And, so it's not easy, but it's fun and it's, you know, every day is a new adventure and we'll see where it goes.
Right. And, you know, knowing that you didn't get like that number one spot or that big pick, how did you keep going on a day-to-day basis?
I think it's just this. So I always refer to sports and sports media as a vocation. It's like a calling, you know, it's like some people were called like the people are called to the priesthood, and I was called to get in sports media. It's sort of, you know, I've been watching, I still watch games every night, you know, and to the chagrin of my family, my wife and my family, they don't, you know, my son loves it, but, you know, I've been chasing a career in sports media since I realized I couldn't play professionally. And so, it's one of those things that it's, you know, it was weird because during the recession, again, while I was spending 5 years at an entry-level job, it was a position where I saw people get out. I saw people go back, you know, go to grad school, go to law school, go to different sort of career paths because they realized the media stuff wasn't going to be enough for them. And I was thought they were crazy because, again, this is something that I always wanted to do. This is something that I knew from day one that I was building towards something bigger and better and greater. And I think the beauty of that is that that's never died for me. You know, that's always been the case. And that's always, you know, it's still the case. So I think it's not, again, it's not fame I'm chasing. It's not, you know, it's just basically what I want to do is learn stuff, as nerdy as it sounds to say. I love learning, you know, but I like learning things and I like, you know, understanding stories and I like presenting them to people is really what it comes down to. And it's sports is like the best medium for that because we have there's all these stories that come out on a day-to-day basis where it's like, what, like, how did that happen? Like, how is that possible? Like,
right.
I mean, it's more so than, you know, even, you know, movies or music or any, it's sort of like real perseverance and like stranger than fiction type stories. Like, so I think there's, again, and there's no shortage of them. Like, and I not to make this, you know, an underdog story, but like Brock Purdy is the Mr. Irrelevant to the Super Bowl quarterback. Like that's exhibit A. And then there's a million of those stories where, you know, Kurt Warner back in the day. So I think, you learn things and you just, it sort of boggles the mind. Like, how is this possible? And then, you know, you realize sports is loaded with those and this whole idea of competition, you know, I think it's innate in all of us. You know, we want to persevere, we want to win, and our teams are a sort of the symbol of that, right? Like my team won over your team. Doesn't matter how what's going on in my everyday life, but I feel good because my team won, and or my team lost, and it's just I'm. You know, it's the perfect personification of how I feel. I'm a loser. I am not good enough. I don't measure up. I lost. So, you know, it's also weird to think about because it's in the grand scheme of things, it's also meaningless, right? Like the games are so meaningless. Like even the regular season games we're all watching, like you're watching getting ready for March Madness or the NCAA tournament and like one team's going to win out of 68. And all these college basketball games, these conference tournament games, they're all going to be meaningless. They're just like, oh, well, remember that. No one's going to remember that. They're going to remember how your season ends. And yet we devote so much time to it. It's kind of bizarre, but it's harmless and it's fun. And it's how I choose to spend my time. And I don't, it's just how it is, I guess.
Right. Super cool story, bro. You got a lot of great stuff going on.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Pretty fun, right? For now, we'll see how it goes.
And everything that you're doing, like, you know, being an author, writing, filming, are you doing all this on your own or you have like a partner or a manager pitch you ideas? Funny.
Yeah, it's funny because I always say that the book was like the ultimate flex in what I could do. Because like I got all the interviews and I arranged them all and I put them together and I asked all the questions and I wrote all the words. And the film has been this collaborative effort, and it's something that has been such a relief. You know, I have my partner Tal Pinchesky, who he's working on a bunch of other stuff. He's doing some content, some storytelling for the NHL. You know, he approached me about doing the film, and again, it was one of those things that I just could not I was in another crossroads of my career. Because I was sort of, you know, it was in the pandemic and there was, again, the pandemic had a huge effect on media career, media roles, and obviously the economy, when the economy is good, media stuff is better. And when it's bad, it's worse. So, you know, my career was going sort of nowhere. I was sort of flailing. I was at the NHL in a role that I wasn't necessarily suited for, and there wasn't a lot of creative freedom, and it was frustrating. So he came to me, Tal Pinchevsky came to me, and he said, you know, do you want to make this a film? You want to do your book and make it a film? And I was like, you know, sure, whatever. And it was one of those, it was as simple as that, just being sure. And then it was sort of slow. It's been slow going, you know, it's been a process for say the least, because it's, you know, these things are slow, you know, you can't, you got to get money, you got to get partners, you got to get equipment, you got to get, you know, you got to get people to buy into what you're trying to sell them. And I think having the book come out, the book came out a year after we technically started developing the film. And I think having the book was sort of this tangible element, like, okay, this is what we, this is the story we can tell. And then we got some buy-in from some people, you know, we had a good partnership from Sacred Heart University, which has been, they've been a great partner through this process. And, you know, they get, you know, we have some crew of some students, some graduate students who have been super professional and super talented and really, really, really hardworking to help craft this. So, like, it's one of those things where I know the story. I mean, if I could do it myself, like, in some ways it would be easier to do it myself because I could just set up the camera and I could set up, you know, the lighting and I just wouldn't need anybody else, and I could just do it all on my own time, and I just, you know, throw, but I would go crazy. I would lose, you know, burn out, and I would, you know, and I wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't have enough to persevere. And so thankfully I've had a group of people who are, you know, sort of guiding me through the ebbs and flows when you get rejected, when you, you know, we had a meeting. We had Bill Rasmussen as one of our partners. He's the founder of ESPN. He's one of the sources we had as an interview in Florida last week. So we met him. He's 91 years old. He's just this great, awesome, just old guy who's just full of stories and full of, you know, positivity. And it was great to talk to him. But so we met with him a few years ago, and he got us a meeting with 30 for 30 to try and pitch this to them as a 30 for 30 film. And so, you know, we presented our pitch and they were super excited about meeting Bill. And we went to the end with them and they passed on it. And so it was devastating because it was just, you know, I thought, okay, this is it. This is, you know, this is the, you know, this is the end. This is the road, you know, the books led to the 30 for 30 and it's going to be the moment my career makes it. And we present this film, it's going to be amazing. And it's going to get everything. And it didn't happen. And it just was upsetting and devastating. And Tal, again, as he's been all along, okay, you know, it's disappointing that they passed on this, but you know, it's not the end. We're going to keep going and we're going to keep, you know, striving and persevering. And I think, you know, you sort of, having another person there to bounce these disappointments off of professionally, when, you know, I have a family and I have a spouse and I have, you know, I can bounce these disappointments off them, but they don't quite get it the same way that having a partner in the, who's as invested in you as you are in the project do. And they're just, okay, and you look back, and I look back at the meeting with ESPN, it was awesome. You know, it was one of those career highlight, but, and the fact they passed is disappointing, but you know, we're still going. And I think that was the thing, because there were so many moments where I could have just, where like my gut would have said, okay, it's time to pack up the tent and fold this and quit this idea, because I don't know what I'm doing and they don't know what they're, you know, and we're not going anywhere. And it doesn't seem to be like this is progressing. And it was just time to sit still and wait for it to all play out. So I think having a group of people who are, you know, sort of keep you on an even keel when it's not, when you're not, when I'm incapable sometimes of remaining on that balance has helped me become more balanced. So it's been awesome having a group of people to, you know, to close, because I tend to keep my circles close. I don't think of myself as this broad, like, group, you know, people person necessarily. It's something that's sort of coming out in me through this process, is that I can be a little more open and honest and, you know, don't have to be so, untrusting of others. So it's definitely not natural for me to be, you know, this gregarious, outgoing. And yet when I go get going, I sometimes could just get going. And so it's, you know, but again, having this group of people who are invested in it with you, where it's not just me running the show, having to do everything, has been such a relief, because I just be like, okay, can you do this? And they say, yeah, I can do this. And it's like, okay, so I don't have to do it all like I did with the book, or I don't have to arrange all the interviews, or I don't have to, you know, put together all the logistics of everything. I could hand this off, or I could do some of it, you know? And so I think it's, for me, it's usually all or nothing. So it's been really nice having a group of people who I trust, who are capable, who are along for the ride with me there.
Right. Definitely super fire story, man. I really appreciate you for coming on the podcast.
Awesome. Thanks, man. I appreciate you for having me.
Definitely. Take care.
You too, bud.
All right.